Okay, so we're getting started with the new sugya. The sugya is the Egla Rufa. Okay, I guess it's the breaking of the neck of the calf. It's the ninth parak in Sota. So I guess before we get started with the parak, let's just look at the psukim on the thing, just for some background. Okay, so the psukim are in Shoftim. Dvarim Chaf Aleph, that is. So it says, "Kimatzeh chal ba'adam asher shem alkecha nosein lachal rishta, lachal rishta." So if you find a corpse in the land which God gave you to inherit, no fell basada, fallen in the field, lo no dam yikahu, you don't know who had him. The yatzu zayin echav shabtecha. So the Canaan and the elders and the judges go out. Some elders. We'll see. It turns out it means the Sanhedrin, people from the Sanhedrin Gedolah. Okay, the highest judges of the town, of the Kali Shal, they go out. They measure to all the cities which are in the vicinity of the corpse. And then the city which is closest to the corpse, Aglas Bakar. So the elders of that city take a calf, that hasn't been worked and hasn't dragged a burden. A yoke. Dragged, pulled the yoke. Well, we do ziknir yara yes agla al nachleis, and then the elders bring it to to the river. Ashele yavidbo, blizareya, in the field, I guess, where it hasn't been worked or planted. Arfu shemas agla al nachal. And they break the neck of the calf over the river. Okay, v'nigsho kohanim b'nei Levi, the kohanim b'nei Levi approach. Kivam b'char Hashem l'kach l'shos lo v'erich b'shem Hashem, because God chose them to be mishareis, to serve and to v'erich b'shem Hashem. V'al p'yem yei kal rei v'chal nagan. Through them will be all arguments and all negayim, plagues. V'chol zikne yirah yi akor ma'chal. So it's not clear what the Kohanim did there. But and the elders of that city, namely the closest city, they wash their hands over the Egla Rufa, over the river, by the river. Anu v'amru, and they answer. And they say, Yadinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. Our hands have not spilled this blood. V'yadinu lo ro, nor have our eyes seen it. We don't know what happened. We weren't involved. We didn't participate. Kaper lam chayshal shabadiso Hashem. Grant forgiveness to the Jewish nation that you redeemed, Hashem. Atitin dam naki bekeram chay Israel. And don't place the blood of the innocent one amongst other Jewish people. Nikaper lam adam. And,
excuse me, Israeli chait here?
So, v'nikaper lam adam. And they will have the dam will have atonement for them. Okay, the blood. And you should remove the blood of the innocent blood from your midst. Kisase yashav en Hashem. You do that which is upright in the eyes of God. Okay, fine. So basically, the basic idea is you have this corpse. You don't know who killed it. So the city, somehow the city which is closest to it, should be the city that's involved in the kapara for it. Okay, and they break, and ultimately they break the neck of a calf. Okay? Fine. So, and there's all the whole, you know, so to speak, steps, all proper proceedings of Egla Rufa. Okay, so now let's do the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein Dal Mem Dal Beis. So it says, Egla Rufa B'Lashon HaKodesh. So Egla Rufa is stated in Lashon HaKodesh.
Okay. Lashon HaKodesh, is he referring to Pasuk itself?
Or? Yes. Rashi says, Ne'meras Masha Zakenim Omrim, Yadenu Lo Shafu. When the Zakenim say, Yadenu, we have not spilled innocent blood, they have to say Lashon HaKodesh. They can't say it in English, or whatever other language they speak. Kohanim, sorry, Kohanim Omrim, Kapar Lam Chay Yisrael, Lashon HaKodesh, Puz Kako Menator Alomra. So the Torah demands that they say Lashon HaKodesh. Can't just say it in any language which they're in. In France, they can't say it. Well, they're not going to be in France. It's an Eretz Yisrael, but whatever. They can't say it in any different language. Okay. Shneamar ki motze chal ba'adama. Okay. Because it says, and you find a corpse in the ground. On the ground. Okay. It's not Rashi says. It's not clear Gemara will tell you, how do you learn out from there? That doesn't say anything about Hebrew. How do you learn Hebrew from that? By the way, in passing, you may be wondering why I love Rufus and Sota. Yeah. Kind of a curious question, right? So, I don't have the best answer for you, because it begs another question. But I do have a partial answer for you. So in the end of Sota has a lot of randoms, I guess, for starters. Okay?
At the end of what?
The end of Sota. Like, for instance, the Rebbe Shira, this year, he did Berch Kohanim, Ben Shavuos. So that was in Sota, right? The one was in Sota. Why is that in Sota? So it turns out it's in the beginning of the sixth paragraph, it says, Elu Ne'mar V'chal Lashon. This is a list of things which could be stated in any language. Parsha Sota, and you read by Sota, right? You read a whole sequence, you know, the whole thing. Vidai Meiser, Kriya Shema Tfilo, Berchus Amazon, Shuvas Eidos, Shuvas Bikadon. It's a list of things which should be stated in any language. Elu Ne'mar V'lashon HaKodesh. And these are the things which have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, Brachos Leklalos, Berchos Kohanim, Berchos Kohen Gadol, Parshas HaMelech, Parshas Egla Arufa, Moshos Mechama. Okay. So the whole list of things which can only be in Hebrew. Okay, so it's a list of things, I guess, comes up in Sota. Sota is talking about there's a whole series of proceedings which is being said, and the saying is agreed in any language. So once the mission is doing that, it says all the things which could be written, and they could be said in one language, in any language. All things have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And then, subsequently, the Mishnayos take them apart one at a time. So the sugyas on, for instance, Meshuach Mechama, and going to war, are in Sota. Okay, the sugyas on Berachos Kohanim are in Sota. That's one of the things which is listed. Sugyas are all at the end of Sota. Sugyas on Berachos Kohen Gadol. Sugyas on Melech, parts of the Melech. Turns out a lot of different sugyas end up being in Sota because of that. So one of the things which was stated in that Mishnah was the Egel Rufa. Okay, Egel Rufa. And Egel Rufa has to be dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. So that's why it's here. Okay? So you could ask why is that whole list here in Sota, but I don't know. That could just be that's the first time it came up in Shas, so who knows? You know, I don't know. That's a different kind of question. But okay. So, but I wouldn't be looking for any intrinsic connection between Glorufa and Sota. Probably not going to find them. Okay. So then the Mishnah continues. It says, Yatsu Zekeinecha v'shofetecha Shlosha Yubez and Agadosh V'z. I'm sorry. Right. Yatsu Zekeinecha v'shofetecha. So it says, Shloshem Yibezin HaGadol Shabbi Yerushalayim HaYosem. Who are these people? Three people from the Bezin HaGadol in Yerushalayim would go out. Okay, three of the judges. Okay? And they'd come, Rashi says, Yosem Bo'in Shem Mimodim HaCholol Tzara Yerosh Yosef Leidei Yerkarova. So they would do the measuring. They'd measure the closest city. So they'd be out to, they'd leave Bezin HaGadol from Yerushalayim. They'd leave behind, and they basically send three of them. They'd come, and they'd find the closest city. Okay? Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says five judges. Okay. Shneimar Zekeinecha Shnayim Shoftecha Shnayim. So Zekeinecha is plural too. Shoftecha is another plural too. Ve'in Bezin Shakol. You can't have an even Bezin. Right? You always need a Bezin. You always need an odd amount. So if they have some sort of argument or whatever, it can be resolved. So the general principle is that you can't have an odd amount. So therefore, Masifin Lan Alarathar.
How do you determine if it's
Zakun
or
Shuvi? Good question. What each of those things mean. But for the time being, it just is using it for quantity. Yeah. Okay, but it's a good question. So it turns out, so one guy holds two, then the Tanakh holds two, and Rabbi holds three, and then Tanakh and Rabbi holds five. Okay, we'll get to this. Okay, the Gemara is going to take it up. Then it says, Nimsa Tomon Bagal, if you find him hidden under like a pile of rocks, pile of rubble, this is the corpse, so totally the Elan are hanging from a tree. Or floating on top of the water, lo yorfim. You don't do it. Shneimar ba'adama, in the ground, on the ground, for lo b'tam b'gal, that excludes being hidden on the pile of rocks. Then no fell, fall in, for lo tali b'ilan, excludes being hung from a tree. Basada, on the field, for lo tzafa p'nei amayim, not floating on the water. Okay? Nimtza samach l'sapar ol yir shuba v'chavim ol yishem b'vazdan. He's found near a border, or near in a city, or near a city that's majority hakams. Gaims ol yir shein b'vazdan, or a city has no bazdan, lo yorfen. Then there's not a l'rufa. Okay, you don't do the whole process. Okay, in modim ol yir sheish b'vazdan. You only measure to a city which has a bazdan. Okay, a city which has a bazdan. Okay, Rashi, is there any more Rashis? The Gals or Levanim? Okay, fine. So Gemara's going to explain why. Why, who cares if it's near a border? What's that going to do with that? Right, those things. But we'll get to this. So the Gemara's going to take all these things up in turn. Okay, so let's start with the first thing. Is there any problems here? Okay, this is just a child admission. So let's start with, so the Gemara says, Mike Amar. Mike Amar is on the first part. Mike Amar, Heichi Yalef, Loshon HaKodesh, Me'acha. How do you learn out that it has to be in Loshon HaKodesh? From here, all it says is, it says, it has to be in Loshon HaKodesh, how do you know? Because it says, Ki yimatze chalal ba'adama, when you find a corpse in the ground, that doesn't say anything about Hebrew. It's in Hebrew. Alright? Okay. So the Gemara says, how does that teach you? Samar of Rav Avohu Hachigamah. Shenemar. The Anu the Amra. It says, and they answer, and they say, Lanu Omer, and later on it says, Lanu Levim Amra. And the Levim answer, and they say, Ma'aniya Amra. So where's that? Lanu Levim Amra. Where's that? I don't know. So Chav Zion here, from Chav Zion. I think that's by Har Gizim and Har Yivam. Okay, when they're on the mountains, and the Brachos and the Kalos and all that. Okay, let's say, Anu Halvim Amru El Kolish El Kol Ram Aru Esh Asher Yase, right, all those Kabrachs and calls. So they said that, right? So Levim answers. So he uses the same language, Anu Amru. So it says Ma Ani Amor Lalon B'Loshon HaKodesh. It's just like over there it had to be Loshon HaKodesh. Afkan Loshon HaKodesh. So through here, right? So through here it has to be Loshon HaKodesh. Anu Amru to Limud from here to there. Okay? Now you may wonder, how do you know there it has to be in Loshon HaKodesh? Right? That's a fair question. Never thought you'd ask. So what does it say? The Gemara over there, really a lot of these things are from that one. So let me just find it a second. It says, so if you look at the Gemara here, Lama Gemal Aleph, so it's talking about Bikurim has to be in Loshon HaKodesh. So it says, it's the second wide line. It says, Mikra Bikurim Ketzav, V'anisa V'antof Neshon HaKecha. So how do you know that's Loshon HaKodesh? It says, V'anisa V'amarta. You answer and you say before God, Alonu Amu V'anu Anu V'liyam V'amru. HaKodesh Yisrael, the same thing, right? Anu V'amru. So Ma'ani Amur Al-Alam Loshon HaKodesh, Avkan Loshon HaKodesh, just like by Harry Griezmann Har Eval, it had to be Loshon HaKodesh, so too by Bikurim. So it says, yeah, how do you know that? Levim Gufayim Minale, how do you know about there that it's Loshon HaKodesh? So it says, Asya Kol Kol Mi Moshe. So the word Kol is learned out from by Moshe. Ma Lalon Loshon HaKodesh, just like over there by Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's Moshe? It's Loshon HaKodesh. Avkam Loshon HaKodesh. I'm sorry, did I just get it? So I'm sorry. The Chsiv Hacha Kol Ram by Harim Harival says Kol Ram. The Chsiv Hacha Moshe Daber Elokim Yanenu Bekol. So Moshe would speak and God would answer him with a call. Okay, I think it means God would make him heard, make him audible. I think that's what it means. Via a call. Okay, he was hearable. God would like make it loud so that the people would hear it. Let me just see that. I think that's a simple shot. Moshe Daver Elokim Yanenu Bekol. So that's in the tradition.
Kol literally means
a loud voice. He'd like amplify God. Moshe Rabbeinu is what Moshe Rabbeinu said.
Was this when Moshe was talking here?
So this is what Rashi says there. Moshe Daver Elokim Yanenu Bekol. It says, Kishaya Moshe Medaber Mashmiya Dibros Yisrael. Moshe spoke, told to the Dibros to call Yisrael. Shari lo Shamu Mipi Agur El Nechil Yilacha. It's only the first two that they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Moshe would say the Dibros, the other ones. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Messayeyo. Losis Lo Koach Lios Kolo Magbir Meneshma. So he gave him the strength, and he made his voice able to be heard. Okay? Yanenu Bekol, it says Yanenu Al Dvar HaKol, Rashi says. It doesn't mean with the voice, it means regarding the voice. He'd make his voice heard. Okay, so whatever. So it says Kol there. Okay, so it says there's Kol, and it says by Hargis and Ayvel Kol Ram. So it says just like there's Loshon HaKodesh. Mala Alon by Hasina, it's Loshon HaKodesh. Right? Because this is what he said, Anochi, these things. So too, Alkam Loshon HaKodesh. So too, by Hargis and Ayvel, Loshon HaKodesh. Okay. Fine. But either way, I mean, so it's like a long chain here. So how do we, so by us, so Soto is Loshon HaKodesh because it says the word Anu Amro. And by Hargis and Ayvel also says Anu Amro. So just like there's one color, so there's one color. So how do you know by Hargis and Ayvel there's one color?
So
there's
our puzzle is 2 steps removed.
Yeah, exactly. 2 steps removed from Sinai. But my question is, my main question, it's not so much of a question, is that apparently there's two models in the Torah when you have to say something. Sometimes you have to say something, it could be in any language. In other cases, it could be B'dafka and Lashon HaKodesh. It has to be B'dafka and Lashon HaKodesh. Right? You have a list. The list is in the beginning of the seventh parak of Sota. List of all different things. So things in any language are Sota. If you do a Meiser, where you say that I've given all my Meiser, Chuma Meiser, you know. Krishma, Tefillah, Berachas HaMazon, these could be in any language. Shavuos HaEidos by Shavuos, Shavuos Bikadam, right? We're just talking about Shavuos HaEidos. And then Lashon HaKodesh is Bikurim, Chalitza, these are the Berachas HaKalos, Berachas Kohanim, Berachas Kohen Gadol, Parshas HaMelech, like Larufa, Mishnah Bochama. So, I mean, of course, each one is its own thing.
I mean, those are the ones that had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh are more like processes that you have to go through. Right? The other are things that are not necessarily processes, but they're being out
of the process. Sota kind of sounds like a process. Sota, huh? My question before, I mean, here's what I'd like to do. I mean, I think it's hard to come up with the universal, at least now. I mean, you have to look into all of them. We don't really know much about any of them, so it's a tall order to just come up with this far on, this would be off the cuff. I mean, we can throw things out like that, you know, but I think it probably can always have problems, you know. So, trying to unify, like, 10, 12 cases, you know. It's hard to believe, you know, maybe it was an obvious thing like that, but I don't know. I didn't really give it much thought, but you think about it. But I just want to do is define. What's the halacha? Figure out why each one is which. But what's the halacha of an amira, which specifically has to be Lashon HaKodesh? Or what's the difference? I don't know, what's the difference between amira has to be specifically Lashon HaKodesh and amira which could be any language? You know what I mean? Like, besides just saying one of them has to be Lashon HaKodesh, other than any language, like, what what could we learn about the halacha of the amira, so or something like that? Can we define the difference between the amira that's any language versus the amira which can mean any language? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even Sota, even Eglarufa, which is our sugya, I don't know if we're going to be able to get an insight into why is Eglarufa with Dr. Lashon HaKodesh. I mean, we don't know the first thing about Eglarufa. So, I mean, why is it? I don't know. That's the puzzle that's teaching us. That's what we're learning out, you know? We're not ready to answer why, but at least we can answer what. What's the definition of the halacha? Is such that it's limited specifically to Lashon HaKodesh versus an institution, let's say like Tefillah or Krishna, where benching, where it could be another language also. Right? Okay, so Yonah's saying like this, is that there's two kinds of Amira. There's an Amira which is like it has a certain content, it's conveying a content, you're saying a certain ideational, it's a set of ideas, whatever, certain content, additional content. That's what Amira is, right? And in that framework, language is merely the vehicle of conveying the content. And if the two different languages is the exact same content, the exact same Amira, right? Right? It's the same exact thing, basically.
But the other side is just, it's the necessary text.
Yeah, and the other side, what is it, the other way of having an amira is not just conveying a concept. It's like, it's like a more of a mechanical formulaic action, which is reading this text. Okay, there's a text. The Torah wrote the words. And it says, say this. quote. Okay? It's not that you have to convey content, right, through an Amira, but you must do the action of quoting the Torah. This is the way I was thinking of it. It's very similar to what you're saying. It's like, in the first way, it's like you are speaking. Okay? You are speaking. And if you are speaking, it's the same thing. You're speaking this language, that language, you're speaking. In the other one, it's like the Torah is the speaker. And you are just simply like repeating or actualizing the words of the Torah. I mean, the Torah is written in Lashon HaKodesh, right? That's why it's Lashon HaKodesh, Torah, Lashon HaKodesh. So you're just simply, it's like a formula. You are whatever the Torah says to say, you're saying. You're saying the Torah's words. Like the Kohen. The Kohen isn't giving a bracha on his own. He's just repeating what God said. Which is good, because that's the thing. He's not the Mevarech. God's the Mevarech, you know? So he's not innovating, saying his own words. He's merely quoting what God said. You know what I mean? It's a quote. It's a saying the words of the Torah. It's not you as a speaker. See, in Tefillah, you are speaking to God. Now, it's true, the reason why you're speaking to God is God told you to, it's a mitzvah. But you're saying it. It's your speech and your content. And you're conveying the content. That's the mitzvah, to convey the so-and-so content. The content, the speech is in that framework. Again, language is an accident. But if you're quoting, and you're actualizing the words of Hashem, the words of the Torah, and that's the mitzvah, to realize that the Divrei Torah, so the Torah has a language. So now if you're saying a different language, it may mean the same thing as the Torah means, but you're not realizing what the Torah was written in the Torah. Right? Like you said, example, an opera. If I wanted to sing an opera, I couldn't sing it in a different language. I mean, that's not the same opera. Because I'm realizing their opera. That's not the same thing as a different language. Because an opera isn't conveying a content. An opera is whatever. It's a play. It's a whatever you want to call it. But it's I'm actualizing what an opera is, and it's a rendition of the statement, which is an opera. But there's a difference between that and a speech, where you're conveying ideas. You're conveying ideas in a book. It's the same book. You do it in a different language. The book is about conveying ideas. But you're just trying to quote the thing, so then it's not. It has a language, and if you don't do it in that language, then you're not quoting it. Alright, so apparently in Kriya Shema, it would seem, according to this, is that it's not just quoting the Dvar Hashem. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is not just to quote the Dvar Hashem, but is that you must say the ideas of Kriya Shema. Now, of course, there's a specific set of ideas, but you must say it. And you're saying Kriya Shema, if you say it in one language, you say it in another language, you're saying the same thing. So there's a paragraph of Kriya Shema, and you're saying...
It's a message trying to be conveyed.
Yeah, it's a message idea. It's a message, right? It's a message which God set up, which is like, say, a message, a paragraph which contains all the fundamental ideas of the Torah, and you must enunciate all those ideas. You know, and therefore you have
not necessarily the text, but the ideas.
Yeah, right, it's ideas, right. The essence of the thing is the ideas. You must be a speaker of these ideas. And in that framework, this language, that language, it really cares. It happens to be who's given in the language, but the essence is the ideas, and that you should convey, review these ideas twice a day. So you review it in one language.
Like, let's say there's an idea behind that, you're just conveying the idea, not necessarily...
Right, so in Rosh Kohanim, you could have said, Rosh Kohanim is an idea, and you must convey the idea. But apparently it's not the way it's formulated. That's what I'm saying. It's like each one, we have to be in each sugya, so we don't really know. But like, I could see in Rosh Kohanim, and that's a good philosophical idea. So in Rosh Kohanim, it's important to know that the Kohanim don't have powers of bracha. It's not their bracha, it's God's bracha. So there, the way the Torah formulated is that the Amira is not their Amira. It's God's Amira. They're like the mouthpiece of God, so to speak. You know, they're just saying, quoting God. God is the Mevarech, Yivarech Hashem Yisrael, but they're the Shliach Hashem. You know what I mean? They're not speaking on their own. Kriya Shema, no, I'm speaking, I'm Mikabel Al Machshmaim, and I'm saying the words and the ideas. You know, like, it's interesting, because it's learned out from, like, from, ultimately goes back to Sinai, right? That was the first, that's where the whole soul chain started, right? So it's Sinai, right? My Moshe, Yidav, Elokim, and I recall, that was the first instance of Lashon HaKodesh, right? Because in this case, Eglarufa traced back to Brachos and Follows, Agriz and Arayevol, which traced back to Arsinai. So by Arsinai, when Moshe was speaking, was Moshe speaking or was it God speaking?
Well, one instance God was speaking, the other instance it was Moshe through God.
Because Moshe is the mouthpiece of God.
Yeah, Moshe is the mouthpiece of God, exactly. It's not Moshe that's the source of the verse, right? It wasn't Moshe teaching ideas. It was is God's asaras devaro. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's what it's saying, is that God only said two of them, and then the Kli Yisrael couldn't handle it. And they said, okay, you do the rest. But it's God's asaras devaro. And so to speak, seems to the Chazal that God would have said them all. But Kli Yisrael couldn't handle them. So Moshe is speaking, he's quoting God. He couldn't have said it in a different language. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu thinking how to formulate it in his own words or whatever. He is quoting God, and it's the Dibur of God, and it's Lashon HaKodesh. That's Moshe Davar Elokim Yonah Mikol. It's almost like even Moshe's voice wouldn't have even been heard if not that God magnified it. You know, it's like it brings out the idea. Moshe is not the originator of the speech. You know, he's the mouthpiece, but he's not really originating it. So certain areas in the Torah where you must do an amira is the Torah wants you to be a speaker and to convey ideas, and then language is accidental. Torah happened to have to write in another language because that's the language Torah's written in, but it doesn't really matter. Other times the Torah wants you to take a speech, a text, words which are stated in the Torah, which are stated by God, and he wanted you to realize that text. It's more of a formula. Realize what the Torah says. The Torah says, say, quote. So you don't be a speaker of these ideas. Like, it's certain that you understand. Like, tefillah makes sense. It's not a formula per se. It's an idea of saying certain ideas. But they don't all, I mean, you can think about them all, but I mean, I'm no doubt if you go down the list, there'll be certain ones that you think, oh, I would think it should be the other way. Which, of course, will be the case, because we don't know the sugyas. I mean, we can't, like, for instance, Egla Rufa. Should Egla Rufa be that you are saying the words that copy in Our Lady Dinah Lo Shalach L'Zdam Hazah, or should it be that you're just enunciating the words of the Torah? I don't know. I would have guessed it would have been that you're saying that the Beis Din saying we haven't spilled this guy's blood, right? I mean, you think it's their enunciation? It's not, right? I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But the point is, we don't know anything about Egla Rufa, so we're not really in a position to. I mean, it could give us insight about Egla Rufa, but we're not even at a point where we're ready to get insight about Egla Rufa. We're just kind of learning a very side detail of the thing, and I just don't think it's. You know, in tefillah we kind of know about it, so we could learn something. Oh, you see tefillah is like that. That's kind of interesting. Kriya Shema, that's interesting. The main idea in Kriya Shema is the ideas, and you know, you can start learning out ideas because we kind of have a feeling about Kriya Shema. We've done enough studies about Kriya Shema that we can kind of interpret it and put it into a language that kind of makes sense to us. But I just feel like we're not ready to get that in Egla Rufa and all these other things. We're to figure out when the Torah does this one, when the Torah does that one. I mean, it could be based on a lot of different particulars of all these. There's 12 different examples. But that's why I think for now, we're just finding what is the Torah doing. The Dibur by Egla Rufa is realizing the text, the Darshan. It's not an idea that they are saying a fixed set of ideas. But it's that the Torah said the fixed words. And you're just the mouthpiece of those ideas, of that text. Mouthpiece of that text. And therefore, as we go after Lashon HaKodesh, why? I don't know why. Whatever, you know, that's a discussion. You know, we don't know why. We're not ready to know why. It would be nice at the end if we'd be able to figure it out, but I haven't gotten there yet. So, I don't know. Maybe at some point, you know. That's a very big question to be able to answer that. To have a feel for why the Torah chose this halachic formulation versus a different formulation. You have to really know a lot about the area to be able to explain that. So I think maybe just a recap, or just some methodology points, you know, that we could take from this thing. Assuming you're on board with the way we're learning things here. So I think one thing is we could learn is, first of all, to define the thing before we get into the why. Okay, define what are the two kinds of amira before we get into, you know, bigger picture questions. Why the Torah is doing it, or, you know what I mean? Like, just the definition itself. And also, I think it's worth resisting the temptation to get into the why altogether, unless you really have something to go on. You know? Because it's, you know, these things, again, it's, you should have a sense when you're involved in something much bigger than you're ready to do. To get into why Egla Rufa is this and that, or anything, a lot of these things. Look, again, Kriya Shema Tefillah, you kind of could throw out an idea, but still, I mean, these are like details of larger sugyas that we're not necessarily ready to tackle. But even though you're not ready to tackle, it doesn't mean you're not ready to give a basic definition about what's going on. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's see the next topic, next issue. So the next issue is this thing about how many judges you have here. Okay? And this is kind of interesting. So it says, let's see, Tan Rabban. It says, V'yotzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Zekeinecha shnayim, Shavtecha shnayim, bein bezin shlakum, v'sivin l'arachar, ha'yikana chamisha. De Rabbi Yehuda. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. So zikei necha is two, plural. Your sages, elders, shavtecha, your judges. 2 plus 2 is 4. You have to have an even odd. You have to have an odd amount, so it's 5. Rabbi Shimon Omer zikei necha shnayim, bein bezin shlakum, v'sivin l'arachar, ha'yikan shlosha. So he says zekenecha means two, and then you can't have an even amount, so you got three. So the natural question is, what happened to the shoftecha? Right, he skipped the word. So the Rabbi Shimon Nami yaksa shoftecha. Says, I'm a humi boy leila miyuchadim shebe shoftecha. So why did it say shoftecha? Your judges? Okay, why did it say your judges? So it's teaching you, it's not teaching you because it wants to repeat it to tell you the number, but it wants to tell you that the zekei necha, right, 1 second, the zekei necha that you have, right, the zekei necha that you have to be the zekei necha and the shofetecha, means they have to be the yichodim shebeshofetecha, the choicest ones of your shoftim. So it has a double language, not to tell you another quantity, more in quantity, but it's to focus it, to tell you that they have to be the choicest of your judges. Namely, Rashi says, the Lishkas Gazas, the people who are in the Lishkas Gazas, by the base of Mekdash. So Rabbi Yehuda, as far as Rabbi Yehuda know that, she says, Miziknei Zikeinecha Naska. So Zikeinecha, it could have said, Yotsu Ziknei. Oh, yeah, or something like that. But it says, Zikenecha, your chosen, right? It says, it could say Zikne, it says, Zikenecha, Yichadim Shiva Zikenecha, Zikenecha, your Zikenim. Who are your Zikenim? You have a lot of Zikenim. No, yours, the main ones, the main guys. Zikenecha. Who are yours? Kal Yisrael Zikenim? The ones in Lishkas HaGadlus. Rabbi Shimon says, you know, he says, Ikas of Rachman is Zikne, if it only said Zikne, Havi Amina, this is where it gets interesting. Eve, I feel Zikne Hashok. If it just said Ziknei, you should send out Ziknei elders. Tzitzei means even just elders in the street. Stam elders. Kosev Rachmana Zikenecha. Your elders. Means your choice elders. Namely, Bezdin. Okay, Bezdin. Right, Ziknei Ashok. Right, says, Alpichain and Sanhedrin. I think it just means elders, even if they're not from Sanhedrin. So it says Zikenecha, your elders, means they're yours. They're your judges. The Kosev Rachman is Zikenecha. If it just said Zikenecha and didn't say Shoftecha, how they mean Afilo Sanhedrin Ketana? I think it'd be any Sanhedrin, any judges. Kosev Rachman of Vishoftecha, let me you Chadim Shevishoftecha. Doesn't just mean your judges, but it means the choicest of your judges. So you need two steps. If you just said Zikenecha, any elders, then it tells you Zikenecha means, no, they had to be judges. But then even if I judge, I'd say, fine, any judges. No, the choicest of the judges. Okay? For you to go, okay, so he learns it out a different thing. He learns it out from a different pasuk. Zikne, a comparison, because there's Zikne here and there's Zikne there, Zikne Eda. When there it's talking about the Sanhedrin of Gadol, so to here it's talking about that. Okay, fine. So let's say, so it says, so if you're learning it out from that, it says, so once you're going to learn it out, because it says Zikne, and you learn it out from the book, it's talking about there in that parsha, and it's talking about Sanhedrin HaGadol, then you don't say Shoftechla to teach you that, say everything, just learn everything out from there. You don't need anything. Zikne, Zikenechla, just say straight away, you know, it's exactly who it's talking about there. So Zikenechla, Shoftechla, Lamali. So then who is it taught? So why do you need to teach me all these steps? Once the Zikenechla, Zikne, Zikenechla, Shoftechla. So it says, no, Ella, so rather it goes off of that. Really, he says, Ella, what's this base? Ella, I think it just says, Ella, Shoftecha, Karevi Shimon. Vav lo mashmalai.
Still Vav yad
Vav? That's Vav.
Oh, okay.
I say Svav Vav. So he says, Kaloma, Rashi says, Ella, Vav, the Zelo Minyana, Kaloma, lo gomri zershav, Vav, it's Shoftecha, listen, and drink Dola, Karevi Shimon. Vav, the Roshacha, Dorosh, Rabbi Yehuda, Minyana, Lavi, Ojnaim. So really, Vav, so it turns out really it says that Shoftecha really teaches you, really everyone agrees. So this is the punchline. Everyone really agrees that you have Zikenecha teaches you it's not just any elders, but it has to be Sanhedrin. Shoftecha teaches you that those Sanhedrin isn't just any Sanhedrin, it has to be the choice of Sanhedrin. So now you're back to only having three judges. Now neither of them are teaching you the additional judges, right? So can echad shavtach are plural, and then you need it to be odd, so it's three. So, but then the vav, Yehuda learns out of vav. So vishofatecha, vav teaches you not just three, but it adds on five. And Reb Shimon doesn't darish the vav. Reb Shimon just says whatever for every, he doesn't darish vav. So he just left the three. So it turns out that's what machlokes is about. So everyone agrees about these steps. That's why I wanted to find these steps. Okay, step is that first of all, zikenecha. If you just had, I would think that it's only any elders. Kamashalan has to be a bezdin. Bezdin, I'd say any bezdin. No, kamashalan has to be the choicest of the bezdins. Okay. And one other thing. So it says elamayat of yot viyatsu uma didu the vavs. If you can tell me vavs, tell you extra. It says a few other vavs. So it says Rabbi kan tisha, Rabbi Shimon kan shiva. So that should teach you an additional four. So it should go to seven or to nine. Right, so go from three, whoever held three, it should become seven, held five, it should become nine. So it says, now, I don't mean by look at the Tanya, that you use for something else. V'yatsu, and now I just want to say, so hein v'lo shulchayim. Then they shall go out. Them, v'yatsu, means it's extra to teach you, they have to go out, and not their messengers. Bezan HaGadol themselves has to go out, you cannot use messengers. And then it says, umadidu, teaches you something else. Shafilu nimsa ba'ala li'ir, them. Even if it's so close to a city, let's say there's two cities. One city is 5 feet from, another city is 20 miles from. So you see how to measure? What's the point of measuring? So it's teaching you now still, shemitzvah lasuk b'medida. Because the mitzvah is to do the measuring. Okay, mitzvah is to do the measuring. You have to be osik in the medida, which is strange. Okay, so there's a bunch of steps here. So the main thing is, I think what I want to do first is, what's the idea here, the steps? The three steps, I think it's the first step. So Kenecha teaches you it could be elders, any elders. I think only any elders doesn't have to be judges. Kamashmalan has to actually be Sanhedrin. Then if you say Sanhedrin, I think it can be any Sanhedrin. Kamashmalan has to be Sanhedrin or Gadol. Okay. So you have that. And then the question is this thing, it can't be their Shluchim. You know, it can't be their master. I think it could be their messengers, it can't be. And then I think that if it's so close to the city, you know it's clear, so then you wouldn't have to do it. Kamashmalan, no, you gotta. Okay, so those are the next day or two of we don't have to look at define these different steps. Okay, is everything... One other thing also, we have to define machlokas as 3 or 5. Yes. You have an extra thing to teach you. I mean, it's funny whether you learn the limit of an extra vav, but do you need 3 or do you need 5? Okay? It turns out, by the way, we're going to get to it. There's another sheet that holds not 3 or 5. He holds you need the entire... I'm sorry. He said you need... Not only do you need the judges, he says you need the Kohen Gadol there also and the Malach. So you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol and the judges from the Sanhedrin Gadol. And the Gemara asks, perhaps he even needs the entire Sanhedrin Gadol. We don't hold like him. The Gemara says, but I mean, this is a serious deal. Serious stuff going on here. Yeah, okay. So I'd like to define the Machlokas also at some point.